Well, good morning to you all. Why don't we all stand for our scripture reading this morning? And it's found in Matthew 11, 28 to 30, and this is what it says. It says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Thank you so much for your words, O Lord. And may the truth of this verse ring true in our lives today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Please be seated. Well, welcome to the fourth message in this series of messages on basic training, which is Christian Fundamentals Boot Camp. And we've been discussing the basic principles for living a healthy, growing Christian life. Back to the basics, as it were. The first message was on love. Second message was about work. Last week we talked about service, and today we're going to look at what it means to learn from Jesus and being a disciple or a follower of Jesus. And next week we would look at teaching others about Jesus and how to be a disciple maker. But first, I'd like to introduce you to a couple. Their names are Michael and Juliet Rillier. Would you come here? And they're going to share with us a little bit about their testimony. If you know Nikki, who you remember our drummer, that sweet teenage gal who used to play drums for us, Nikki? Well, Juliet and Michael are her parents. And so she used to play with us, but she's moved to L.A., and so she's thriving there. But come over here, Juliet, Michael. I'd like to ask you a couple of questions about your testimony, and here's a mic that you can use. I'd like to ask you, Juliet, and begin with you, what was it like to have a husband who says he's a Christian but really isn't walking with the Lord?
Michael was a difficult to deal with in terms of going to church. He thinks church is just a social gathering. He was so demanding, limiting my time to church activities. He would rather work overtime than be in church. Was so critical with people and very self-righteous. Was very angry, very controlling. He blames.
Let me ask you, Michael, what was going on in your mind at that time? You know, you said you were a Christian already, but why weren't you really walking with the Lord?
Because I probably was a knucklehead.
Okay, aside from that.
Anyway, Pastor Vince actually discipled me in the year 2004. But I thought I was a Christian then. I was actually riding high in my Christian walk. I was attending the church. I was attending Mike Sanga's Bible study. I was leading worship in his Bible study. I was attending men's ministry. But there was a pull to return to old ways. And because of that, I left the church, and I left Christ.
Mm-hmm. Juliet, you went through a lot. Why didn't you give up?
Yes. I didn't give up because I know there's hope. I know he's going to restore my marriage. He will make it through for us. A lot of things that he did for us. And I'm just looking forward and steering Jesus Christ. I know he's going to make my marriage work.
Mm-hmm. So Michael, what was the turning point in your life that made you decide to really follow Jesus?
Well, it was a process. The turning event in my life was a series of events. And one of them was my wife having this mom's group on Wednesday nights that she goes to. Mm-hmm. And with that group, they worship the Lord, they pray for each other, they encourage each other. They seek the Lord unceasingly, and they're unabashedly just all out for the Lord. And so I was like, boy, if I can make a comment on how I felt at that time, I felt like my wife was having an affair. Because she was on this roll of just going and attending. But the good thing about that is when she comes home, she felt like she was so spirit-filled. She felt like she can take on the world. She felt like there's a lot of love in the home. There's a lot of peace in the home. And I felt like, wow, I need to have some of that myself. Mm-hmm. Where's that coming from?
Mm-hmm. Amen. So Michael, what happened? What happened afterwards? What changes occurred, and how did God bless you?
So with my wife doing those things, just showing how the love of Christ was imparted to her, I felt a tug in my heart. I felt that I want to be like her. And so I said, okay. Then I heard this very gentle voice that said, Michael, why aren't you worshiping me anymore? And I used to worship him so much. And I think that was a turning point. Mm-hmm. Turning point of because of my stubbornness and controlling attitude, that took a while for me to activate on my faith. And so I started going to Mike Sanga's Bible study again. I asked Mike if I can lead worship again in his Bible study. And one thing led to another. I started worshiping with my family at home, singing praises and worships. And the disclaimer is, Nikki would tell you I'm not a good singer or a guitar player. But that worship in the Lord led me to open my house and meet this extraordinary man. And we have a Tuesday group. We meet there. We worship. We love on the Lord. We share our burdens. Mm. It's full disclosure. So we talk the deepest hurts in our lives, the deepest sins that we have. We bring it all out. We pray for each other. And that has been blessed me for the past few years.
Amen.
In fact, if I may say, those men that attend my Tuesday group, I've seen miracles in their life as well. I've seen the love of Christ in them.
Amen. Amen. Juliet, what changes did you see in Michael's life?
A lot of changes. One of these is just there was love. Mm-hmm. There was peace, joy, humility, and some more Christian-like. I see Christ in him. Mm-hmm. So when it was like mind-blowing when I see him walking. Like, is this my husband? I mean, it's just like before it was like, it was so hard before. Mm-hmm. I know it is possible, but when you are going through the process, it was like hard, but through those hardships, God is with me, Jesus is with me, side by side.
Amen, amen.
A long way, and the promises that he gave me, I am just depending on that.
Amen, amen. Now, this was quite a process, I would say maybe over a decade, that this went through. What advice or exhortation can you give to couples and families right now that are going through issues and problems in their lives? What advice could you give them?
That the Christ that I have in my heart is real. that the Jesus Christ that I follow and worship is giving me peace, pure love, pure joy, that the burdens I have with having a special needs child, I no longer consider it as a burden, mm-hmm. but a blessing. Every difficult moment we have with Timothy is an every opportunity I have to worship and to seek God's grace.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. Julia?
Yes, I also would like to thank those people, actually Fina, who discipled me back then, 10 years ago, 15 years ago, something like that. But it dawned on me, those discipleship class and lessons. And then, as I've said a while ago, it was hard during the process, but the discipleship class is just like reminding me of what I have learned about following Jesus Christ and hearing his voice. So I advise you to go attend the discipleship class with Pastor Vince or whoever else.
Amen. Yes. Amen. Well, thank you so much, Juliet and Michael. Could we say a prayer and just thank God for this family? Lord, thank you so much for how you have been working in the life of Juliet and Michael and their children, Lord, for Timmy and Nikki, and how you looked upon this family with love. And at the right time, you just worked in a powerful way because these are miracles, Lord, that you've done in their lives. And we want to just say thank you. And we want to see more miracles happen in more people's lives. And may people truly see you for who you really are, the one true God who loves them. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you so much. Thank you. Isn't that amazing? So what does it mean to learn from Jesus? What would that really look like to have a spiritual life that is growing and is thriving and is healthy? Let me describe it another way. How would you like to have a life where you and your spouse get along really well, when you've got children that are obedient, and you love God so much, and you enjoy your prayer time and Bible study time, and yeah, you're tempted, but you don't find sin attractive enough to yield to it, and you've got problems, but you don't really worry about them, and you don't really feel anxiety or struggle with fear. You don't really stress out about anything, and nothing really bothers you. And even when troubles come, you readily connect with God, and he gives you guidance on how to solve your problems. You have a positive outlook in life, and you don't struggle with anger or bitterness. And the people who hurt you, you don't bear grudges. You just process it and bring them to the Lord and forgive them. And you have lots of friends and people flock around you because you're so inspiring and positive and encouraging and authentic, and they like you because you look like Jesus. And you're constantly helping people and serving in the church. And you're in charge of your life. You know, you're not addicted to anything or attached to anything. And you have balanced priorities in your life that reflect the things that are important to you, which is God and family and church, your work, your friends, and you exercise, and you eat right, and you spend time with people that you love. How would you like to have a life like that? Huh? You probably say, oh, that person doesn't exist, man. But, you know, it can exist. But my question to you is, what hinders you from having the Christian life that you've always wanted? In contrast, what if your life experience seems to be like, instead of loving God and hating sin, you find that as time goes by, you spend less and less time with God and become more and more attracted to sin. You know, and negative thoughts dominate your mind, especially fear. You worry about anything and everything under the sun, finances, health, children, future, anything you can think of. And you constantly struggle in your Christian life. And it seems like it's a roller coaster. You know, you're up one day and down the next and up and down the next, you know. And you, after a while, you know, you just get discouraged and your Christian life becomes stale and you give up. After all, you say to yourself, oh, what's the use? I'm just going to yield to temptation anyway. And you just live a mediocre life. Yeah, you still go to church, but you have all of these guilt and condemning thoughts that come upon you, that maybe you don't love God enough, you're a failure, and maybe God is fed up with you already, and you fall in a rut, and before you know it, that's the norm in your Christian life. You're not exactly anti-God, but you're not really passionate for Jesus either. And oftentimes, you feel okay, but you still feel that there's something missing in your life. That your Christian life could be better. Jesus describes that condition as being weary and burdened. The question is, how would you like that to change? What if I told you that today is the first day of the rest of your life and you will never be the same again? Because it could. But in order for that to happen, we need to learn a few things. And the first thing we need to learn is that we need to learn what it means to come to Jesus. Because Jesus said, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened. And coming to Jesus means understanding our brokenness and acknowledging it. Not ignoring it, not avoiding it, not denying it, but rather admitting it, that we are broken after all. One person said to me one time, he says, yeah, I'll accept Jesus, but give me time to put my life together. So I said to him, that's precisely what you need to come to Jesus, because your life is not all together. You don't have your act together. And that's why his invitation is, come as you are, burdens and all. No need to be embarrassed with Jesus, because he has seen it all. And he still invites us to come. You see, one of the things I find as a major stumbling block Christians struggle with all the time is guilt. Thinking, oh, God must be sick and tired of me already. I keep falling into the same sin over and over again. You know what? Nothing could be further from the truth. You can mess up a million times, and he'll still keep inviting you a million times. To come, all who are weary and burdened. And I want you to get this, straight, okay? For as long as you're on this earth, there is no expiration date to his invitation for you to come. There is no expiration date for that. He doesn't get tired of you because he's God. And his love for you is not based on your performance. It's called grace, undeserved favor. Now, guilt may not necessarily be bad if it will draw you to Jesus for you to accept his invitation to come and receive his grace. He didn't say, come to me when you've dealt with your sin and you're perfect. No, he said, come, who are weary and burdened. I can guarantee you that guilt is good if it draws you to Jesus. But if it doesn't and you let it stay there, it will lead you to depression. He said, come to me, all you who are weary, all you who are broken, all you are burdened, all you are sinful and imperfect, come. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your soul, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. What does Jesus give us when we come to him? What did the verse say? What does he give us? Rest. Rest for what? Rest for your guilty, weary, broken soul. Second, coming to Jesus means understanding his grace. What is grace? What does it mean to receive His grace? Now, you're probably wondering, why is Pastor Vince carrying that backpack? You know, why is Pastor Vince carrying that backpack? You know what? I've been asking myself that question. This backpack is not helping me preach better. Why am I carrying it? Why am I carrying it? Well, let's see what's in the backpack. Let's see what's in it. Because it's heavy. Oh, got a pack of cigarettes. All right. Oh, wow. I've got good old Jim Daniels. All right, man, I got... Oh, one of my favorites. Oh, look at this. Wad of cash. A knife. I wonder what that is all about. Computer. Oh, man, I love my computer. I spend hours on my computer. Remote control. Man, I love that stuff. You know, when I get home, I reach the remote control right away and turn it on. I wonder what else is in here. My cell phone. Cell phone. All right, can't go without my cell phone. Oh, and of course, the one I love the most. Oh, man, you know, we carry a ton of stuff with us all the time. You know, how many hours do you spend on yourself? And you know what? The world was okay without the invention of this. It was okay then. It's still going to be okay now. How often do you reach for the remote control the moment you get home and spend hours on it? And computer, you know, how much time do you spend on your computer? Facebook, Instagram, and surfing the net. Well, these ones you know already. How about this? What's this all about? You know what Jesus said? He said, he who hates his brother is a murderer. And you know what? You don't have to be a hateful person to be burdened. You just have to hate one person, and you'll be carrying a load. So Jesus is asking, why carry all these things? Why carry it? Why do we carry it? You know, back in the 1890s, there was a psychologist by the name of Pavlov, and he did an experiment that made his dog really famous, if you know Pavlov's dog. And what he did was he made an experiment, and he would show the dog food, and he realized the dog would salivate every time he would see food because it meets his needs. But then he started giving the dog food and then ringing a bell. And he realized that even if he just rings the bell, the dog would start salivating, even without the food. The dog has associated the bell with the food. And sometimes we do that in life. These things, they don't really meet your needs. We just associate it with something that meets your needs. Now, Jack Daniels, he's not going to meet your needs. It's an anesthetic. It just numbs your needs. But it doesn't feed your needs. It doesn't fill your needs. And when you wake up in the morning, you have more problems. And yet we've associated it with something that fills our needs. That's why we can't give it up. The human heart has a vacuum. And if it's not filled by God, it will be filled with something else. And that's a given. That's a given. So Jesus comes and asks us, why? Why? Why carry all these things? You know why it's heavy? You know why it's heavy? Because it has power over you. That's why it's heavy. You can't give it up. It has power over you. So the only one legitimate thing, the only one person that has a legitimate right to have power over you is God. He's the only legitimate one who has to have power over you. If you give that power to someone or something else, it will be a heavy burden. It will be heavy. If you hate somebody and you can't sleep at night, guess what? That person has power over you. Why carry it? Why carry it? When Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. And take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and lowly at heart, and you will find rest for your soul. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Why carry it? I want you to see the emotion of Jesus, okay? I want you to see the context of this verse. Jesus has just finished making, preaching and doing miracles in the towns of Chorazin and Bethsaida and Capernaum, and he made many miracles, but they still refused to believe in him. They would not trust him and believe in him. And he was expressing such grief. I said, "Why? Why do you insist on carrying your load?" And then he says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." See the emotion of Jesus in this. And he's saying, look, these things, they can't solve your problem. These things, they can't love you. They're not real. Come to me because I love you and I'm real. Why do you have to turn to this? And he's saying, I love you enough to even be willing to die for you and die for your sins. I'm willing to do that. I love you. I'm real. All I'm asking you is to think about it. And I'm giving my life to you, but I'm asking you to give your life to me. It's a fair exchange. Life for life. He gives us life for you, but you need to give your life to him. And how often we miss that. Jesus knows he can't force you, so he pleads with you and asks you to see how much he really loves you. What do we do with these? What do you do with it? You stuff it all back in the bag and then make a conscious effort and decision to settle it once and for all and decide, what do you really want? Do you want to carry this heavy burden the rest of your life? Or maybe it's about time that you lay it at the feet of Jesus. Maybe it's about time. Aren't you tired? Aren't you sick and tired of that? We just heard the testimony earlier. Took over a decade, but at least he got there. How long will it take for you to come to terms with what it means to give your life to Jesus and accept his life in yours? Coming to Jesus means understanding his grace, and that's what it means. To receive his grace, you take his life, you give him yours. Learning from Jesus means becoming more and more like Jesus. In 1 John 2, 5-6, it says, "This is how we know we are in him. Whoever claims to live in him must live as Jesus did." The question discipleship seeks to answer is, are you growing in your spiritual life? Or are you becoming more and more like Jesus every day? You know, this month I just celebrated my 59th birthday. Yes, I am that old. I am that old. Thank you. But you know, the crucial question to me is, did I really grow as a person or did I just grow older? Am I a better person from January of 2017 to January 2018. Did I grow? Did I become a better person? Or did I just grow old? Let me put it another way. You know, as a follower of Jesus, I want to be more and more like Jesus. So let me put it in the questions that I ask myself, okay? As you get older as a Christian, did you become more righteous or are you just self-righteous? Did you become more holy or are you just holier than thou? There's a big difference between the two because there are a lot of Bible-thumping, scripture-quoting, church-going Christians that are not really growing. They're just growing old. They're not really righteous. They're just self-righteous. They're not really holy. They're just holier than thou. You notice how Jesus described himself. He says, I am gentle and humble at heart. Are we becoming more gentle and humble at heart? Is that us? Or am I just as cranky as I was a year ago as I am today? Are people attracted to my life saying, oh, you know, you're so kind, so calm in the midst of turmoil. You're not stressed when you're going through problems and you're loving and accepting and authentic. Is that what they say of you? Because if you become more like Jesus, you will attract people to Jesus. Because that reflects in your character and people see it. So why do some Christians stop growing in their spiritual lives? You know, Jesus said, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and lowly at heart. He said, take my yoke. And I think the reason why many Christians don't grow in their spiritual lives is because they suffer from what I call the insanity syndrome. Let me explain to you what I mean. You know, every start of the year, what I do, you know, I love New Year's. It's the start of the year. You can start right. You can make New Year's resolutions. You can start all over again, make new beginnings. So where I start is in my closet. And I look at all my clothes, and I said, okay, I got these gifts from Christmas and my birthday, all these new clothes. I have to make space for them. And in order to do that, I have to get rid of my old clothes. And so I go through my closet, and I have a pile of clothes, three piles of clothes. I have this one pile, which I call the good pile. It stays. Then I have another pile, which I call the goodwill pile. And it goes to Goodwill or whatever, you know. I would donate it. And I have this, what I call the iffy pile. And the iffy pile are those clothes that don't exactly fit anymore. But I know that if I just lose 2 to 3 pounds, it will still fit. So what I do is I keep those clothes, hoping that within the year I will lose those 2 to 3 pounds and it will still fit. My problem is I have this iffy pile from 3 years ago. And I've been consistently gaining weight 2 to 3 pounds every year. So for me to fit that pile, I have to lose 3 times 3 is 9. I have to lose 9 pounds. And year after year, I keep keeping that pile and doing nothing to lose the weight. I know I have to lose the weight. I know I have to keep away from all that tasty, wonderful, greasy Filipino food. But I'm hoping against hope that even if I continue what I've been doing, that I will lose those 3 pounds. Ain't gonna happen. Ain't gonna happen. My reality is I just don't want to make the commitment for change to happen. I don't want to make the commitment. Thus, herein lies the problem of every Christian, every pastor, every church, every denomination. I, as a pastor, can preach from this pulpit Sunday after Sunday, lead Bible studies, and people will say, amen to that, amen, preach it, pastor, and agree to everything the pastor says. And when they come home, they go back to their routine and change nothing. After all, there are planes to catch, bills to pay, I live a busy life. Who has time to pray or read their Bible or even attend a growth group? We simply are not willing to do what it takes to make our spiritual life grow and thrive. Let me ask you this question, because we're talking about boot camp. Why doesn't the military get a recruit and say, okay, great, you're a recruit. Here's a gun. We're sending you to Afghanistan tomorrow. Why doesn't the military do that? Why? You know why? You're going to get shot if you're not trained. You know, Christians, we are engaged in spiritual warfare. What makes us think that we can win this war against Satan, who's been around for thousands of years, tormenting the people of God, having a lot of expertise in doing that? What makes us think that we can defeat him without proper training? So what we've thought is, okay, we're going to train you. I'm going to have this discipleship class starting February 18 for 4 consecutive Sundays. Frank Season and I will be teaching a discipleship training boot camp class, which will study the topics of salvation, prayer, Bible study, and the Holy Spirit. It's in right there in the bulletin. If you've never gone through a class that teaches the Bible, these topics in the Bible in a systematic way, then sign up for the class. If you want to be discipled, come to the class. This is a class for privates. It's for you. Every Christian should go to the class and start somewhere. The other class that I'd be leading is today, starts today and next Sunday. It's a disciple-making class. This is for the non-commissioned officers, okay? Those who want to train the privates. And this class comes complete with Leader's Manual and will show you how to disciple someone using the Bible and how to explain those Bible verses. So if you want a guide on how to disciple others, this is the class to attend. It's from 12 to 1, starting today, this Sunday, and next Sunday. In fact, right after the service, I'm going to head straight for that class. And don't feel offended if I don't shake your hand, because I have a class to teach. I have recruits to train. And if you want to be trained, that's the class to go to as well. There's another reason why I think Christians don't grow. It's because sometimes they are more focused on eliminating the sin rather than falling in love with the Savior. Let me explain it this way. How many of you have caught the colds virus? How many of you had a virus, struggled with the virus? Okay, you don't want to say me because they will avoid you. Okay. But it's going around. It's epidemic level already. And then people will say, you know, you should wash your hands, you should use alcohol, you should stay away from sick people, you should use a sanitizer, cover your mouth, and I agree with all of that. All of those are great stuff. But the problem is we have become so focused on the virus and the bacteria and the germs, and we're missing out on the single most important factor in avoiding being sick. And you know what that is? You know what that is? You need to build up your immune system. Because let's face it, germs are everywhere. They're in your body, they're in your skin, they're in that knob that you open the door with. They're everywhere. They're in your mouth. Have you ever wondered why you have bad breath when you wake up in the morning? That's germs thriving there in your mouth. That's why you need to brush your teeth when you wake up. But if you have a good, strong immune system, it takes care of the germs. It'll take care of it. But if your immune system is compromised, you're toast. You're going down. And in the spiritual life, it's the same thing. Sin is everywhere. It's everywhere. You go out there, you see it in the signs, you see it in magazines. You see all temptations everywhere. It's out there. It's in you. You have a sinful nature too. So what do you need to do? You need to boost your spiritual immune system. You have to be walking closely with Jesus and praying, studying the Bible, going to your growth groups, fellowshipping with other believers, allowing them to into your life and holding you accountable. If you're not willing to do that, guess what's going to happen to your spiritual immune system? It's going to be compromised. And the devil is going to take you down. What makes us think that we're going to grow in our spiritual lives if we're not willing to commit and do what it takes to grow? Are you willing to be trained? Are you willing to go to boot camp? Are you willing to grow in your spiritual life? And are you willing to pay the price so that you don't get shot by the devil? Let us pray. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for your word is true. And it reminds us again and again and again that you constantly invite us to come. That there's something more to life than just this, than just stuff. And how we devote so much of our time and devotion on things that don't really matter instead of giving our time and devotion to you. Oh God, have mercy on us and help us to see how much you love us. How much you want to draw us into yourself and invite us into your presence and live in your kingdom and enjoy your victories with you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Can we thank Pastor Vince for that message this morning? So on your spiritual journey, can you remember the days when you first met the Lord? Do you remember the days when you first heard the voice of God in your life? I loved, you know, the Lord's voice is here this morning. The eyes of God are here. And I want you to know the Lord sees you. The Lord has never loved you more than he loves you today. God knows your name. He knows your journey. And if you listen closely, you can hear God say, "Come to me." Come to me. He makes that call every day. Every day Jesus calls you to learn from him. Every day Jesus calls you to discipleship. For those of you that have yet to say yes to Jesus and accept what he's done for you on the cross, Jesus calls to you to come to him so he can wash you clean of your sin and to make you who is separated from God, united with God through his sacrifice on the cross. He who knew no sin became sin on our behalf that we might become the righteousness of God. To be washed in Jesus' sacrifice sets you free. And if you're here today and you've yet to say yes to Jesus and accept his sacrifice for you, he calls you to come to him. He calls you to surrender before him. For those of us that are here today that have said yes to Jesus, that wasn't the end, it was the beginning. You see, each day Jesus calls his soldiers, like a gunny sergeant every morning would go into the barracks and awaken his soldiers and say, "Today we're going to go do this or do that." Every day the King of Kings calls you and I to come to him and to learn from him. The burdens that you carry today, If you ask Jesus, he will speak into those burdens. The bondage, the darkness, the fear, the shame, the guilt. If you ask Jesus about these things, he will speak into each and every one of them. And he will set us free. We're going to go into a time of worship this morning. It's a two-song worship set. And in this set, we're just going to sing praises to God. And during these songs, I'm going to ask for the leadership of the church to come and stand with me today. And we love doing this. If you have a burden on your heart, if you have something going on in your life that you need prayer for, we would invite you in these next few songs to come forward and just share with us what is something you want God to do in your life, and let us pray over you and ask God. It says in the book of James to come to the leaders of the church and receive prayer. And so we at Woodbridge exercise this biblical mandate. We love to do this after the service, at least after the teaching. So we're going to sing two songs. One is called Holy Spirit, You Are Welcome Here. Jesus said for his disciples to wait in Jerusalem until the Spirit of God comes upon you, then go have power and be my witnesses. So we're going to sing a song to the third person of the Trinity. Holy Spirit, you're welcome in this place. If you find that today you don't have power in your life, it's a great song of prayer. Just fill my life. And we're going to roll from that into the next. So I'm going to ask for my wife to come up and stand here next to me. I'm going to ask for Mike and Pat to come up and stand. Ask my brother Mike to come up here as well. Up in the balcony for the Chows to be up there. I hope that they're up there today. They can lead in prayer. Pastor Vince is going to be hanging up there. He can pray with you. If you have a burden in your life, come up here. I'm going to ask for Pastor Graham and BJ to come up here. We're just here to pray with you. So come now. Father, we thank you for the message today. You are more than a message, you are power. Our faith is a cognitive faith. Our faith is a supernatural faith. Jesus, we know that you are in this room. We know that you are here. I believe, God, that you want to touch your people and speak into the lives of your people. Lord, if there is someone here today that you just want to prompt them to come forward and receive prayer by faith, I pray, Lord, that you would draw them here, and by courage and strength they would come. And Lord, for us as a church body, as we sing these songs and we see people coming forward and asking for prayer, Lord, may we just find ourselves praying for our brothers and for our sisters. Jesus, we pray for miracles and signs and wonders. We pray, Lord God, for healings. We pray, Lord, that you would break chains. We ask, Lord, that you would heal bodies. And we pray, Lord, that you would set people free. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.